Let's open with a word of prayer, may we. Father, I thank you. I'm so honored to be with your people here who have such a heart for life and who are standing in the gap in difficult, hostile situations, really. So much antagonism against you and against new life that is not wanted. But Lord, we want to just look at a psalm today and just see more of who you are. And when we get our eyes off of you, it never goes well. And when we fasten our eyes on you and see your beauty and your grandeur and your awesomeness, and Lord, the fear of you just soars, not in terms of being afraid of you, but just standing in awe of you. And so, Lord, as we look at this great psalm of David that we're familiar with, Psalm 139, 22 verses, and just quickly go over it and see how your characteristics are shown there and get our eyes on you and off of the world, so to speak, and just bless this group. And may you be honored during this time, and may your word go out and accomplish well what you will with it in each of our hearts and minds. So, Lord, this time is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139, I'm sure that's a psalm that is well known by your organization because it has fearfully and wonderfully made. It has, you've been with me since my beginning in my mother's womb, and that's heart and parcel where we are, really, isn't it? But what David wrote here was, "You have searched me thoroughly and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand, or you comprehend, you discern my thoughts afar off." In these first six verses here, we see the omniscience of God, or the all-knowing of God. The next six verses, we'll look at the presence. He's present everywhere. And then we'll look at the power of God in the third stanza. And then we'll look at the sovereignty of God near the end, and then close it with a couple of verses of prayer, as you well know this psalm, I'm sure. But we see here in the beginning, he is all-knowing. He searched us thoroughly, and he knows us. All about us. He's even written the number of our days before the foundation of the world. I can't even relate to that, but you know, he's not in the time domain. We are in these bodies here in a time and space domain. God is not. He's outside. He sees the whole picture. But he allows us to go step by step through life, and we thank him for that as well. It says, he knows my sitting down and my rising up. How many times did you sit down and rise up already today? I don't know. We don't keep count, but he does. He knows every one of them. And he understands my thoughts afar off. It doesn't mean that he's a long way off and he understands it way out there. No, he means it's even before we think him. He knows every thought you're ever going to have, ever. He already knows it. Can you imagine that? Sometimes I think, oh, I must be really, really disappointing him with some of my wicked thoughts and all this. No, I'm not saying he's pleased with it, but he knows anyway. I mean, he knows me. He knows me. It says, you comprehend or you discern my path and my lying down. You even know the direction I'm going to go in as well as what I am going in. You know when I lie down and when I get up. And you're acquainted with all my ways. Just think how well he knows you, how special you are as we think about this. There's not a word on my tongue, even those that haven't been spoken yet. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Just think of that. Oh, this mouth should be used in a more glorious way than it is. He knows every word that's going to come out of it, you know. And it's kind of, that's the last part of it. It starts out in the heart, goes to the mind, we think about it, and then it comes out of our mouth, right? Comes out of our tongue. But he knows it all together. And now notice the protection here. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Just think how he's holding us. He's protecting us. Now, some of the times we see these protections. I saw one the other day in an intersection. I was almost certainly to be broadsided, and he protected me and didn't even hit the car or scratch. But that probably happens every intersection we ever go through when you think about it. How could you possibly drive around like we do and not have one constant mess? But he hedges us before and behind. Oh, praise him. And he lays his hand upon me. He's got his hand on you. Isn't that great? Wow. And then he closes this little section. Such are infinite. It's infinite. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain it. Now we see he is all-knowing, but he is infinite, so we can never know all of him, but he lets us know enough to see that we can understand him to a degree. There's so much we can't understand because it's too great, but he is so awesome. So just this whole thing is just too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain it. I can't understand it. I understand a little bit of it. I understand how much he loves me a little, but I can't understand in full how much he loves me because it's beyond my understanding. Then we're going to talk about another characteristic here. He's everywhere. He's all present. So verse 7 reads, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I am out on the Mediterranean Sea, you are there. If I go up into heaven, you are there. If I go down into hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, in other words, if you flew away on an airplane or a spaceship or wherever you go, he's there. Or you go to the uttermost parts of the sea. Now, there's a place in the Mariana Trench, I understand, that's 7 miles deep. That's the deepest thing that's in the Pacific Ocean, I believe. But if you were 7 miles down in the ocean, he would be amazing, isn't it? Wherever you are, he is with you. He is there. It says, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. We're in his hand. You're in his hand. Always in his hand. His right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Heaven and our light and darkness, he's in heaven, but he's everywhere. Heaven, light, darkness, it's all the same. He sees in the darkness as well as he sees in the light. We don't understand that. We think if nobody else can see us, he can't see us. I mean, in a way, if I'm going to do this something bad, I'm going to do it in the dark. Well, it's not in the dark for him, because there is no darkness to him. He knows all things. Awesome. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And then he moves on into all power, his omnipotence, we call it, all power. So think of the power displayed in these verses. Verse 13, for you formed me in my inward parts. You knit me together, or braided me, as could be in some translations. You covered me or embroidered me together, knit me together in my mother's womb. Now think of that. This is God speaking now. Now just think how many in this country, and really maybe in the world, don't believe that at all. They don't believe anything is formed in the mother's womb, really. It's just fetus. They want to make sure they don't say it's a baby, because that would really be the wrong thing to say, because they would be even harder to, say just terminate at any time or all the way through. But here he says, my mother's womb. You covered me in my mother's womb. Of course, we have a number of our prophets, it says in the scripture, that they were called from their mother's womb. We know life begins at time of conception of the two cells coming together. That's the beginning of life. And it's life starting from then on. The DNA is set, unique for that particular individual. End up with maybe 70 trillion cells in our body, but when we get to be an adult, and every cell is identified with the same DNA, and nobody else has that same DNA. I heard another example, for example, on a snowstorm on a regular-sized city. It's estimated there's 1 trillion snowflakes that fall on that snowstorm. They all have 6 points. They all have the same degrees between the 6 points, but there's no two the same. So if you have 1 trillion snowflakes with no two the same, and he knows every one of them, think how well he knows you. Well, we got 8 billion of us running around here, maybe more than that. And he knows each one of us. He could hear, if all 8 billion were praying at once, he could hear every single prayer. So he knows what's going on. Isn't that amazing? His power. And then the psalmist says, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, what a miracle that is. I'm involved a little bit with the Love Life out at Chino Hills, and We have so many instances where abortion is told by the doctor, you got to abort. There's a high percent that child will be totally deformed and all and all and all. And, you know, it just sounds so terrible. And fortunately, they didn't follow the doctor's advice. And now the kids are running around and almost always doing great. Now, God does take the malformed ones out. I mean, we have miscarriages, don't we? And, you know, it's very tragic in a way, and yet that's a good thing because God knows there's a reason for that. He does everything he does is for a reason. Most things we don't do for the right reason or too many things. He's given us free choice, hasn't he? And too many times our choice is not led by him. But he says, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I was just thinking about the eyes. Do you know that in a baby's eye, I understand, there's a million receptacles in each eye that are connected to from the eye to the brain. And if one of these million is not in the right place, you can't see. How would you like to have the job of hooking those up? And we could talk at the ear. We could talk about the ear all day long, too. It's kind of an interesting to me, though. The inner part of the ear is the only part of the body that doesn't grow from a newborn. A newborn has the same dimensions of that anvil and that vibration, whatever that thing is, because it has to be that way to work. And it doesn't grow. You know, most of our body grows. Have you looked at your ears lately? Well, you're not old enough. You wouldn't know that. But my ears are really growing. That's about the only part of me that's growing, because everything else is kind of shrinking away. But maybe the spirit, I pray the spirit is growing for sure. But at any rate, fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Do you know that in your soul, how marvelous his works are? How perfect he is, how awesome he is? And he goes on to say, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. So while you were being formed in your mother's womb, he knew everything that was going on. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing, right? Just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And moving on, verse 16. Your eyes saw my frame or my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days, all of them, the number of days you're going to be alive in these bodies, all of those were written when yet there were none of them. Isn't that amazing? So he knows something you don't know. A lot of things you don't know. But I don't know how long I'm going to live because I couldn't handle it if I did. But he knew before the foundation of the earth exactly the number of hours, seconds, and minutes that we will be in these bodies. No surprises. He's taking us all home right on time. And you may say, well, I don't think so. It's not the time I would expect. Well, he knows the end from the beginning, and we don't. But as yet, when there were none of them. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts, his thoughts to me, O God. How precious they are. And how vast is the sum of. How often does he think of you? Well, the example here in the scripture is, if I should count the thoughts, they would be more in number than the sand of the sea. How many grains of sand are there? It's been estimated that about the same number of grains of sand as there are stars. And that's 10 to the 25th zero, or 25th power. That's 10 with 25 zeros on it. Now, that number is so big that it's impossible for us to grapple with it. It's just beyond. You can call it 100 billion if you want. We can't even recognize what a billion is, let alone 100 billion of them. But that's how many his thoughts are. Okay, so if he was thinking of you a million times a minute, it would still take years and years for him to stop thinking. In other words, he's always thinking of you. Can you imagine that? Well, God thought of me 10 minutes ago. I guess I got 9 minutes now. I don't have to worry about him thinking about me, or I do have to worry about. No, he's still with it. It says, if I should count, they would be no more in number, more and more, his thoughts. And listen to this. When I awake, I am still with you. Think of that. Think of the beauty of that. Now, there's part of my day when I'm doing absolutely nothing for him. Absolutely nothing. When I'm sleeping, I'm out, right? 6 hours, 5 hours, 7 hours, whatever it is. But just think, the moment you wake up, he's there, isn't he? Just think of that. What if you woke up and he wasn't there? What if you woke up and you couldn't find him? Of course, there's millions doing that every day because they've never found him yet. We pray for them, right? But he says, when I'm awake, I'm still with you. Not so with the wicked. And then we're going to look at his sovereignty in the next four verses. God is sovereign, isn't it? And the psalmist writes, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. So we see here, he's against the wicked, and he's going to take care of them, right? And in your ministry, I know you're running into that all the time, bloodthirsty people in a way that want to take the lives of the unborn, right? Because it's not convenient right now. I don't want another child. And just think, the child is made in the image of God. That is unbelievable. Nothing, no other animal in that category at all. We are so special, so beautiful. And he says, they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? He says, I hate them with perfect or complete hatred. I count them my enemies. How do you handle the enemies of the Lord? How do you handle the enemies of your ministry? Well, we're supposed to love them, but hate the sin. And so if you want to pray for me, help me to hate my sin more. God hates sin. And we cannot love the sin. We cannot compromise with sin. We must hate it. But we must love the sinner. And we get it all mixed up. We accept the sin and hate the sinner too much of the time, it seems to me, at least in my case, maybe. But he says, I do not hate them, Lord, who hate you, and I do not loathe those who rise up against you. I hate them with perfect hatred. Righteous anger is good. I hate them with perfect or complete hatred. I count them my enemies. So I think that kind of is a good summary there. All the enemies that are out there against us, we don't hate them. We're grieving for them because they don't have the love of the Lord, right? But we don't want to be approving what they're doing, for sure. Then he closes on the prayer in verse 23 and 24. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked, offensive, or grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So he ends up, after showing us who he is, who God is, then the cry is, search me, look at me, Lord. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxieties. Now this is not so he knows what's going on, it's so we know what's going on. But he says, see if there is any wicked way in me. Now in my case, it's hard for me to be in the singular on that. It's like, how many are there? Not is there, but is there any wicked way in me? And then what? Lead me. Oh, lead me, Lord. Lead me. Lead me this hour. Lead me this day. Every day you have for me. Lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Father, we thank you for this beautiful psalm. I pray we would go to it and to your word often. I pray we would be in your word every day. And Lord, I just want to encourage each one on this call. And Lord, you give us that great encouragement in light of the resurrection in the Corinthians resurrection chapter 15, 58. But it's such great exhortation for us. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Finally, my brethren, be steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, help us to grasp that verse as well. And Lord, help us to even remember the benediction that Moses was given in the wilderness, so that people would know how you think of them, and you said, the Lord bless you and keep you. And so we can say that to each other in that way. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. So, Father, bless these people. Use them for your great glory, Lord, and may we not grow weary in doing good, but just praise you and honor you more than ever before. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.